So do me a favor. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ah, God is awesome. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for insight, instruction in righteousness, wisdom, knowledge of God, understanding, peace and prosperity in abundance. I'm never losing that phrase as long as I live. And I speak it over everyone here, everyone listening, and we receive it as our own, as our personal gift and property. We claim the title deed to it. It's truly ours and we accept it because you gave it to us. And all the gifts and callings of God are without turning or shadow of repentance. Book of James says. So we receive every gift that you've given us. And we accept that it cannot be removed because you gave it to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you start at chapter 3, it starts, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." So I was like, well, if you're starting with "for this reason," what are you talking about? Like, there has to be a point you're making. The prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of the Gentiles. What's about to be said has a prerequisite that's stated in chapter 2. Now, I don't want to do all of chapter 2, but I want to grab a couple of important points. In chapter 2, let's start with, let me see what verse I start with here. Verse 7, it says this: "In order that in the coming age he might show," talking about the Lord, "the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork." So let me just take that. Not from grace. I mean, it's a gift of grace, not from works, so that nobody can boast. Let's just pull that apart real quick. It should be common sense, but a lot of people are not so common. So let's make it as common as we can make it. It's foolish to believe. Are you with me? It is foolish to believe, but often believed. I'm about to get a little deep and philosophical here, so you just be ready for me, because you know I can go to that place. It's foolish to believe, but often believed, that the gift that God gives us, I do us. Sit with that a little. No, it's meant to do that to you. You're supposed to have that look on your face. That's me being deep. You suppose this is, if it was simple, you wouldn't have that look. I'm supposed to get that look. I'm supposed to solicit that expression. It's foolish for you to get to the place that you believe that what you receive as a gift is due you. I'm going to say something that's a little maybe rough, old diamond brownish, but it bears. I don't know if any of you have ever been on welfare, but I was once upon a time. And I would see people come in the welfare office. "You ain't sending me my check. You better get me my money," like they worked for it. "You owe me for the past 3 months." And I'm like, this is welfare. I'm just saying. You didn't put no hours in for this. This is a government aid that in some countries don't even exist. But we are so privileged that we got a right to demand, you better give me my money for something you ain't work for. The same thing happens when you gift people consistently. Can we talk? And it doesn't have to be with things, but with your help. You consistently help people. You consistently there for somebody. You consistently whatever. You consistently an ear for them, a shoulder for them to cry on. You better give me my shoulder. What you mean you ain't got time to talk to me? And we start to believe that the gift is due us. Matter of fact, some people get to the place that they begin to believe that they're doing you a favor by taking your gift. I thought I would be a little nicer today, but I guess not. So, he's making it clear here, not of works, that any man could boast. It's a gift from God. The fact that you opened your eyes this morning, it's a gift. He don't owe you that. The fact that you put both legs on the floor, if you could do that and stood up, it's a gift. Some people are severely medically challenged in the terms of bowel movement. Being able to use the toilet is a gift. It's not owe you. And for us to get to the place of any of the things of God that he does for us, that we begin to believe that the gift that he consistently gives us, we deserve it by some action of our own, is sad. It's erroneous, it's foolish, and it's detrimental. Because I begin to notice about God in my life and my walk, that the moment I begin to take his move for granted, his move slows greatly. If you begin to take the people that he's given you to be a blessing to you for granted, he begins to remove them. So, he makes this statement. It is a gift of God. Stop boasting that you have a brain that thinks that way. Yes, acknowledge it. Yes, be happy about it. Yes, be grateful for it. Yes, do not be ashamed of your gifts. But just be careful before you and daddy that you don't start to believe that you're entitled to that. Look. I've come to the place in my speaking, and when I do speak, and when I get the opportunity to speak, be it in church, be it in diversity, be it in business meetings, whatever the case, nobody speaks like me. And everybody that I talk to says it. Wow, I just like the way you have a way of explaining things. Wow, I never saw it that way. Wow, what made you come up with that? Did you read that somewhere? No, I read it right in here in the spirit. And it's natural for me. But it's a gift. And I'm always aware of the giver of the gift. I'm always aware when I flow like that and everybody in the room's mouth is hanging open that this is a gift. And I don't feel entitled to it. I said I was just going to have a little light chat today, but maybe not. Let's see. We'll just roll with the Holy Spirit. Next verse says, for we are his, God's handiwork. We are whose handiwork?
God.
So now you understand, he says, not of yourself, so you should not be boasting before, because the work that goes on in you is of God's hand. God's handiwork. God's hand is in your workings.
Amen.
Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I'm a good person. You created to do that. So shut up. Which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So now we get a better understanding when Paul says, and for this reason I'm bringing these points up. God has a plan. Title of my message. God has a plan. And his plan is clear. I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Well, I just told everybody from the scripture to do good works. How? Down that you and God walk out. But your gift is to do good works. Let me say that three more times. Your calling, your gift, your purpose is to do good works. What determines then if I'm doing good works? What kind of fruit? I like good fruit and good work and good fruit and common. Okay, okay. A few more synonyms, thank you. No. What determines that you're doing good work? Come on, keep going. You're done with good works and good fruit? That was it? That's all you had? Say it again. Okay, you're all getting deep and spiritual. It's the favor of God. The power of God, the flow of God, the presence on me, and the chills that I get when I'm doing them. What determines that you're doing good work? What God says. I like that. It's very similar, but isn't the good work you do judged by how it affects another? She said, change your mindset for the better. That's all good, but it means nothing if nobody is. What determines that you make good food? If people eat it and like it. Right? It's so simple, but yet profound. Your works ain't worth squat if nobody else ain't benefiting from them. If the only person to benefit from your good works is you, then how do you know they're good? If the only person who likes your food is you, then how do you know it's good food? So, you are called and ordained and purposed by God to do good works. And those good works affect the tribe or the nation or the people that God has assigned you to. Amen. I love saying this. God gave me this a long time ago. It's been a while since I said it. But I'm going to get you to say it with me. I have a nation in my belly. There is a nation or a people that God has called me to. That I must affect before I leave this planet.
Amen.
You can give him praise for that. It's okay. Now, I submitted and committed to that maybe about 20 years ago. Because up until then, I sought God for how I could benefit from seeking God. You know, first it was, you know, you think about it, we all do. Even before you hear the prosperity message. Even the people who've been deceived in believing that God want to beat you up and go through hell and hard times, everything you're doing is so you don't go to hell. The end game is still your benefit. Stay alive, do as good as I can, and hopefully I don't miss the kingdom. So the people who even believe that God want them to suffer and go through stuff, still to them is works that they can boast about because I was such a good Christian, even through my hardships and my hard times And I just kept loving Jesus. So you did doggone good in your misery and suffering. Nobody else benefited from it. Oh, we're going to want to have this conversation? Nobody else benefited from all these so-called long-suffering, like the patience of Job and all this stuff. Yeah, but whose life has changed because of your good works? Somebody watching you go through, you know, sickness bouts over and over and over again, it's not helping anybody else. Let's read this again now. You know, I could take one verse and do a whole message, but I had this whole other part, but, you know, hey, let's see where the Holy Spirit wants to go. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved. How? How? So when he says it's a gift so you can't boast, he's saying again, it's by grace you are saved, but that grace is through faith. And what is faith? Don't say the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. You pretty much said the same thing, believing what you can't see. What is faith? What you said is correct, but I want more. Huh? Okay. Trusting God and believing his word. This is true. But isn't grace also, isn't faith also then a gift? It's in the gifts. It's called the gift of faith. It's a gift that you have the ability to believe what other people can't believe. So even the faith itself is a gift to believe, to receive the grace.
Amen.
Got it? Sometimes I amaze myself. But I understand what I'm talking about. I do. But no, sometimes I'm up here and I'm sharing the word. I know I'm kicking it. I know. I get that kicking it anointing. I can feel it. Here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. But not a work, so I cannot boast, right? Listen. It's a gift. Faith, the gift of faith, allows us then to receive the grace to do the works, but the works should now be focused outwardly because the faith is inward. Faith is in your heart. And then that faith shows on the outside. So when you guys hear me say, I took a stand, God told me to do this and that and that and this, and then this happened and that happened and this happened, but it all happened in line and conjunction with obedience to the message of grace that he gave me. Not because I can do it, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then it becomes back to I can do. When it should always be focused on what he can do through me. Let me say that again. It should never be focused on what I can do, even though I've done it again and again in the Lord, and it's become regular to me. It should always be focused on what he can do through me.
Amen.
My focus, you got it now? My focus should always be what he can do through me, not what I can do, and God helps me. And I hear people say all the time, I'm just praying that God helps me do this. Why? Why does God need to help you do something? Why don't you just surrender it to him and let him do it through you?
Amen.
Why don't you just become the submitted vessel that he works through? Not of works, lest no man can boast. Let's move off of this now. We've been on it for a minute. For you are God's handiwork. Let's talk about that real quick. So you are God's handiwork. Let's talk about that a little bit. Whose work are you? What does that mean? You are God's handiwork. I'm a handyman.
Right.
you're right. It's like a creator, but it says you, it's more to it. It says you are God's handiwork. Go ahead, Jericho. Bam! Give her the Cupid doll. We are his project. You're coming here and you're watching me do everything from hanging this to fixing the plumbing to running electrical lines to whatever I do. And I look at that and say, behold, my handiwork. That stuff didn't just jump into the salon, all of that. It went now. Handiwork. And there it stands for everyone to see. You're God's handiwork. He's proud of that project. He wants that project to serve a purpose, to do good works, so he can say, look what I did. See that? That's my Sophie right there. That's watch what she do. I made that. I made that. That's my handiwork. Well, I've never been hanging up a piece of wood and it says to me, I want to be on the other side of the room. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be 6 foot. I want to be 3. The work lets me do it. And it lets me decide. The work lets me do it. And it lets me decide. I get my tools out. Not one board or one piece of wire has ever pushed back to tell me it don't want to be that. I don't want to be bent to the left. I want to go straight. But when you forget you the handiwork and you start to think that God works with you, then the project is telling the creator what to do. Don't you miss me when I'm not here? Listen, I'm telling you, this is the season God's been walking me through. Well, God, I want to do this, I want to do that. I feel like I'm sitting around. He's like, okay, so you building this or I'm building this? I sent you here. And I laid everything out that you didn't have to go through anything to make it happen. Now you want to take charge, Mr. Carpenter? You want to put me to work for you? Oh, we don't want to have this conversation. I'm doing this for you because I know the construction of you. I know what's in you. I know what you consist of. I know what you can be shaped into perfectly. I built it in the blueprints before the foundation of the earth. I know who you are. I know why I put you here. I know what you're going to fail at. Why don't you stop doing the stuff that you keep failing at and let me put you in the place. Me taking electric wire and trying to make it fit the plumbing, it's just going to be water all over the place because wires cannot be a conducive for water. You're a wire. You're a roofer. Why are you working in the basement? I feel like such a failure. Yeah, because you keep purposing yourself in places that I never called you to be. You're looking at somebody else's gift thinking you're supposed to function in that, and I didn't call you that. You're my handiwork.
Amen.
You're my handiwork. So stop boasting. Through faith, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by any works that you've done, so that no one can boast. For we are God's creation, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. In advance of what? In advance of your arrival. In the advance of your acceptance of salvation, all this stuff was laid out for you to do and do well and succeed. Amen. Don't we find it funny that most of the time we fight against the very thing we're called to do? Yeah. And then when we finally do it, we go, oh! Wow. Why do you think so many old folks say, if only I knew when I was your age what I know today? And I've said to a few of them, and you still wouldn't do a D thing with it because you ain't doing it now. Don't say, oh, if I only knew when I was your age. You know now, no, right? Yeah, so then why aren't you doing it? Exactly. It didn't make a difference which age you found it out. Now that you know it, do it. Back to chapter 3. And there's more to that, but that was the point I wanted to point out. Chapter 3. For this reason, knowing that it's not of my own works, knowing that it's a gift of grace through faith, which is also a gift, knowing that I am God's handiwork and he created me for a purpose, for Paul to say this is huge. Because Paul had a plan. And this is what I want to bring home today. Paul had a plan. He went to college. He got his triple doctorate in theology. He was educated, well-learned, sat on the higher echelons, religious mind of his time. And in his logic that came from his accomplishments, he figured out that he had a calling. I know this Jewish law so well. I've studied it front to back. I know what the scriptures say. I went through all the scrolls, the Pentateuch. I went through the whole Levitical priesthood. I know what this is all about. And those people are heretics. And they should be put to death. I am doing the work of the Lord. Whew! I know God must be proud of me as I go out slaughtering people and throwing them in lions' dens and stoning people to death and hold their coats, the people's coats, while they stone Stephen. Co-signing on it. Why would he hold their coats? Because that was sanctioned because of his position. You got it? I'm going to hold your coat. That means you're not killing him. I'm giving you the green light. And I have the position to do so. Doing the work of the Lord. From the perspective of what he was not called to do, but what he decided was right to do. He thought he was doing a righteous thing, but he was working in his own power, not according to what God said. You're my workmanship. We created to do good works and a purpose. And he thought he was doing the right thing. So when he says, I get it now. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I already briefly written. What revelation is he talking about? That revelation when he got knocked off his horse, on his behind, made blind, had to be taken into town and fed and received Christ and got his sight back. And now the very people that you were against, you now realize that these people are who God called you and birthed you and created you to save. Now the game changes. Because now his whole plan and his whole life work and all of his accomplishments goes out the window. He even said it later in his writings. I consider all my achievements as dung, as poop, as dookie. I consider all of this stuff doo-doo. He probably said the curse, but they didn't want to put that in the Bible. Right? He said, I consider all of this dung, all of my achievements, all my doctorates, all of my degrees, all of my successes, all of the things that I thought I was doing for God, I now consider it dung. I consider it crap. He's now of this revelation of this. Okay, so there was a plan for me before I was in my mother's womb that I would reach this nation. And this nation is the nation of people and them before who I was trying to kill. I was trying to kill everybody who would even get to those people. And now I realize that I've spent a good part of my life trying to shut down what God called me to. And no, because I'm too, listen. And now I realize that the very people I was trying to hurt are the people I was called to save. What a shift. What a mind shift, spiritual shift. All of his friendships gone. All of his relationships gone. He ain't getting invited to the P. Diddy party today. He's out. He out of that group. He's out. They all now saying, oh, we got to kill him. He one of them now. And the people he's saying, now I'm here to save, they're like, you was killing us. That's a real funny place to be, ain't it? He went from being on this side to that side. God, why did he have to spend his life in prison? And why did he have to go through this whole kind of thing? And God said, who would have accepted him? They had to see him be locked up for what they believe. Because they know what side he was on before and how hard he was for it. Imagine you knowing this is the guy who sets the church people up and has them killed. And I'm going to have them come and speak. You're going to be a guest speaker. How many people showing up to that meeting? Wait, hold on. Paul, Saul, them? Saul of Tarsus? Yeah. Church going to be empty tonight. He had to stand there in front of people sitting in the audience whose father and brother and sister and mothers he killed. But he had to decide, even in that, I've accepted this calling now, and this is the people I'm called to. I'm his handiwork, made to do his work, so let's get at it. And for him, it had to be about total acceptance from God and accepting or rejection from anybody else. Because he was now rejected on both sides. He had to walk this line in the middle. This past week or two, I've been really dealing with God, okay, I'm out here. It's things I'm supposed to do. It's things I want to do. It's things I should be doing. What is the things? I just feel like I don't feel like a failure because obviously I'm not. I mean, you've taken good care of me. I'm fine. Financially, I'm blessed. And la, 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 la. But see, for me, I'm never satisfied with money in the account and my bills paid. Destiny don't let me sleep. Destiny wakes me up all hours of the night. Destiny just is a pain in the behind to me sometimes. It just don't leave me alone. I'm like most people at this age, God, they're settling down, they're retiring, getting their 401ks and their AARPs, and they're going on with their life. And I'm like, no, I'm starting a whole new journey. And God said, there's one thing I need you to get a hold of, son. You are my handiwork. I'm doing the creating here. Yes, I've given you the ability to create, and you're doggone good at it. But you ain't good as me. So I need you now to take off your tool belt and get up on the table and let me do the work that I'm doing. I need you to humble yourself in the presence of an almighty God. I need you to shut your face just a little more. Because I want you to cooperate, but I don't want you to dictate. Who am I talking to right up in here this morning? Okay. Okay, so it's a trick I learned from Lindsay. When we're having a conversation, it gets heated. Not heated like angry heated, but like excited. You know, like good spiritual move of God going. I call that heated. You feel the heat of the Holy Ghost, and she just wants to jump in. Oh, yeah, and it makes me think of the time and in the conversation. So what she would do is she would mute the phone. So that before she spoke, she would have to unmute, which give her time to pause and say, let the man finish, don't unmute the phone. So I've been practicing that. So if she's talking, somebody's talking, it's exciting, I want to jump in. Oh, you know that reminds me, mute the phone. So I have to reach for it, I got to remember, let him finish. So it's time to speak to me, I go like, are you there? And yeah, I'm muting the phone because I want to jump in. So I want something to give me that constant reminder of just be still a little bit longer. So I'm learning to do that with God. Just push the mute button. So that before I want to jump in and help him, I have a pause to think about what I'm about to do here. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. So God is telling me, yeah, you need to not only hit mute, you need to just hang up the whole thing, just disconnect, turn your Bluetooth off, and sit it across the room on speaker. Just you, just whatever you need to do, you need to be quiet. I'm not comfortable being quiet. You called me to speak, Lord. Yes, when it's your turn to speak. Not all the time. You're not supposed to have an opinion about everything. You don't decide how long a board you're supposed to be. I do.
Amen.
You don't decide how it's supposed to go. You don't decide how it's supposed to end. You don't decide how it's supposed to start. And you don't decide where it goes right now. You get in the car, I aim it in the direction, and I give it a push, and I tell you when I want you to turn, and not until that. And he's not saying it to me mean. He's saying to me, son, in this season of your life and walk, I need you to be quieter. I need you to be stiller. I need you to be more silent. You're my handiwork. I am not yours. And no, we are not partners. I run this thing. I'm the boss. I know what's best. It's crazy for me because I have partners and people that I work with who have come to me and said the business wasn't blessed for years because I wasn't submitting in my place. And now that I'm in my place, everything is flowing. And God is saying to me, did you hear that? Yeah, God, you blessed the first. No, we're talking about you. Oh. Well, who am I not submitted to? Me! But I'm submitted. No, you submitted to your concept of submission. But you're not submitted. That's a drop the mic. Praise the Lord. Have a good day. But let me just finish with this. Submission now for me is becoming a process, not just a decision. You got to re-up on submission every day. You got to restack up on submission every day and several times during the course of the day. It's a process. And I'm learning in this process, it's so much easier once you commit to it. Because when you're not, anxiety kicks in, worry kicks in, fear kicks in, all these emotions kick in, unnecessary arguments kick in, all this kind of stuff. Because I need to control this narrative. One, because I don't want to be hurt. Two, because I don't want to be misused. Three, because I don't want people to take advantage of me. And all of a sudden God said, notice where all of that's going. Back to me. But I've called you to do good works for others, and you're getting caught up in making sure you're good. And most believers believe they submitted when they are working to get God to work for them. But true submission is, what's your ultimate plan? What are you actually doing, and how do you use my life to put something out there that benefits people that is not me? In other words, do my work, I'll take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. As Mama Green used to say, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. Well, I thought seek the kingdom, and okay, let me figure out how the kingdom works. No, the kingdom means the people I've called you to. And then I'll supply what you need to get the work done that I've designed you to do. So in this season, at this time, and some of you work close with me have seen it, I'm becoming less selfish. I'm becoming way less, how does that affect me? How does that make me feel? I choose to just believe what God has said, regardless of how you act. I'm just going to trust God. But before then, they're taking advantage of me. They're abusing me. They're running all over me. God's like, you know what? All that me stuff is happening again. Where you're my handiwork, called to do a good work. And if you're doing the good work that I called you to do, could you be less concerned about how people are responding and more concerned about pleasing me? In Jesus' name, amen.